yaş işte. Many of you must be very tired after the wonderful festival yesterday. Perhaps you were up very late at night, I don't know. Were you up late? Some of you? This is the process of full absorption in devotional service. How we purify our hearts. It's not a spectator. Spectator movement is... It should be a movement to engage or give everyone the opportunity to engage in Krishna's service with 10% eventually. Do we need a translation? Translation? Everyone can understand English? Can you understand English? No. I'm sorry. I can't speak any other language. Can't speak English either. What can we do? We're so used to having translations, and we ask. So thank you for coming this morning and performing this little sacrifice to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading, I believe, from the 8th canto, chapter 12, which is the text number? 36. The chapter is entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. This is a brahmachari. He chanted that without looking at the verse, right? Correct? After repeating it 5 or 6 times, he'd memorized the verse. That's brahmachari. We're a bit beyond that, Dharmatma Prabhu. We can read it 100 times, we just don't remember the first words of that. Actual brahmachari, the sutidhar, they have, even once they can read and remember. But, this Kali Yuga, as long as you can remember the holy name. One time we were giving a seminar, it was a Vanaprastha seminar, and there's one devotee who was 94 years old at the seminar, and he asked a question. He said, "What should I do? I can't remember anything anymore. All I can remember is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Said, "Your life is perfect. If that's all you can remember at this stage of your life, you are very fortunate." Because unfortunately for many of us, we can't say at the age of 94, but for many of us there are other thoughts or memories that are still prominent within our consciousness. If actually all you can remember is Hare Krishna, what a perfection of life. If remembering all these verses and remembering Krishna in various ways brings us to remember the holy names, then our lives are perfect. Perfection of life. I think I can remember the last two words, Uhadbhutam. It's kind of, you know, it's, yeah, it's almost like you or had, has been or something. So, I wonder what it means, we'll wait and see. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thus Lord Shiva could understand his position and that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potencies. Having reached this understanding, he was not at all surprised by the wonderful way Lord Vishnu had acted upon him. Purport. Please listen attentively. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as all-powerful because no one can excel him in any activity. In Bhagavad Gita 7:7, the Lord says altogether, he's got his mobile there. With a little help from our friends. Someone sang that song the other day at the Prabhupada to say we get by with a little help from our friends. We've had an interesting weekend with, I think Shiva Ramraj was very much attracted to this tune. I've slipped my mind now, but it used to be the tune of the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards' tune. And anyway, it goes nice with the Hare Krishna mantra. So with a little help from our friends, Mr. Google or whatever, now he says the Vedabase. Vedabase, okay, good. So what is the verse altogether? Everyone fade it out because the purport doesn't give the last two lines. Yes. And does anyone know what it means? Besides those who are looking at their mobile phones or whatever you've got, iPod, pad, something like that. What does it mean? It's nice to know the verse is purifying. Same with Hare Krishna, it's purifying. But it's also nice to know what it means. Someone asks you, what does it mean? I don't know. Quoting verses. I said, what does it mean? I have no idea. It's nice though. What do you do in this sport? I don't know. Obviously we should also know something at least. We may not realize, but at least we should have some understanding. What does it mean? I am the Supreme Truth, right? I am the Supreme Truth. Is that what Krishna says? Yes, he does. Can we say that? Lord Shiva, could he say that? He may have been bewildered to think like that. But it's not the ultimate truth. What does Krishna say? There is no truth superior to me. And then? Resting as pearls are strung on the thread. You may not be able to see the thread, even in our own cloth. Of course, we know, probably know the process, but you can't exactly see the thread. Sometimes it comes out, but it's a cloth woven. But behind everything there is the thread. But this example, pearls on a thread, is very nice. Beads on a string, nowadays you have knots, you can see, but in the earlier years, we had no knots. It was just straight beads and string. There were no knots. So you couldn't see the string. So you might conclude there is no string. The beads exist. The pearls exist. And that's it. There is no thread. And that behind the pearl, keeping everything together, is a thread. So everything is resting like that upon Krishna. You may not see him in this world directly, but he's behind. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, of course, gives a lot of emphasis on how to understand and how to see Krishna, how to see him, everything, no matter what it is, no matter what it is. And wonderful thing, just like this verse, Adbhutam, wonderful. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same thing as there, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna displays this wonderful universal form, Adbhutam. And the idea is that we can develop. I mean, we tend to be a little bit puffed up sometimes, a little bit proud. So a little bit of humility, as Arjuna was overwhelmed by the universal display, in one sense. It's overwhelming, even without seeing that aspect of the universe. Just the universe itself is quite humbling. When we look into the sky at night and see the vastness of just what we can perceive. You look at the ocean, how great the ocean is, or a great mountain. It's very belittling, very sort of humbling. The idea there, to become a little bit humble, stop thinking that we're so great, that we're so knowledgeable and so on, so austere, so strong. These are all different illusions. And if there is any relative beauty, strength, knowledge, it's again, it's only, ultimately it's coming from Krishna. So these are explained in Bhagavad Gita 9, 10, 11 chapters especially. Krishna's explaining his opulences, his potencies, how we can see works or remember his presence in everything. In duality, no matter what situation we're in distress, when we're depressed, in every situation, how to see Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. And to see this material world as the spiritual. One time one devotee asked Prabhupada, what is it, Vaikuntha, what is it like? Prabhupada said, this is Vaikuntha, right now. But we cannot see. We haven't got the vision. We get bewildered, overwhelmed by false ego, which results in many coverings, so our perception of the situation is relative, is perverted. We have to purify our perception. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is towards perceptual purification. It's not changing the world, as you may have heard over and over again, but I'll mention it anyway. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj would sometimes said that those who think that they can change the world are in need of change. No one can change the world. It's going on under Krishna's direction, not ours. All that has to be changed is our way we see it, our perception. That's what has to be changed. Instead of seeing ourselves in the center, we have to see Krishna in the center. That's the actual cure. That's the actual solution. Not to say we don't do anything. We do act to try to do things in a way which is more favorable, more pleasing to Krishna. And this is Krishna's energy, so we have to try to use it for his service. That is our, you can say, our sacrifice, that's our service, but ultimately it depends on Krishna. Everything rests on him. Not a blade of grass moves without his will. Even the beautiful, we probably read it the other day in the beautiful poem of Srila Prabhupada, Markandeya Bhagavat Dharma. In that poem, Srila Prabhupada describes there, all the living entities have come into this world by your will, and by your will they can also be delivered. So Prabhupada was appealing to the will of Krishna to please deliver them. One may say, therefore, it seems to be all predestined, or let's say we don't seem to have any say in it. If by Krishna's will we've come into this world and by Krishna's will we leave, where do we stand? But Krishna's will is just like nothing. We may have our desire, but nothing can be fulfilled without the will of Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with us according to our desire. The material world only exists because of the desire of the living entity. It's not like it's there because it's there. It's a manifestation of Krishna's creation, but due to our will. Otherwise, there's no need for it. So by the will of the living entity, Krishna has arranged this and placed us in this world because of our desire. And simply if our desire is developed for devotional service, pure devotional service, then only by the will of Krishna can we be delivered. It's not like an automatic thing. Ultimately, everything depends upon the mercy of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in the, maybe, first canto, 7th chapter, text 6, maybe, in the purport, the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna does not at all depend upon the mechanical process of hearing and chanting, but depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of Krishna. We do our part and depend upon Krishna. I remember one time Radhanath Maharaj was telling me, he was in Varshana, early days before, I believe, yeah, before he joined Prabhupada, before he took shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And he was visiting one Babaji in Varshana, and nobody was going there, and they said, there's a dangerous tiger lurking around. It was a bit more wild in those days, early 1970, a bit wild. So anyway, he went, he wanted to see him, so and he went to see the Babaji. He was sitting up on top of Mangar, I think, one of the hills there. And the Babaji was there. Do you know there's a tiger? And said, yes, that's why. And he said, are you doing anything to protect? Yes, I've got a stick, he said. I'm keeping a stick. in case the tiger comes. I've got my little stick. And he wasn't Radhanath then. I don't know what his name was, Richard or something. He said, but don't you, you know, do you think this stick will protect you from the tiger? No. And what for? We're doing this. Well, we have to play our part. We have to do our best, you know. You can't expect that that's going to be it. It really depends on Krishna's mercy. If you don't play your best, you know, you may appear externally to lose, but you played your best. And that's what counts. Try our best. It doesn't, you know, we can't expect to, you know, we're not Nitya Siddhas descending from the spiritual world as limbs of Krishna's mercy or something. Where, you know, we're conditioned souls and struggling with the modes of nature, with all the baggage from God knows how many lifetimes. Yeah, you can't expect it to kind of, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, why have I still got material desires? I've been chanting for 10 seconds, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. I've been here 1 year and still I'm, you know. We try, our part is to try our best and depend on Krishna. That's the process, and all your activities, Krishna says, try to be conscious of me, depend always upon me. Try not to act out of false ego and material lust and so on. We just try to do our best. No one's perfect, Prabhupada said it. Neither grihastha, sannyasi, brahmachari, or vanaprastha, no one is perfect. No one can be faultless. If I criticize you and you criticize me, we'll all go away and we'll miss the actual point. So the actual point is to come together and perform kirtan. This is the essential point, to gather together and put Krishna in the center. In front of the deities, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam. Or if you're not in front of the deities, wherever we are, deities everywhere, we may not be able to see. We have to also try to remember Krishna's everywhere. He's with us wherever we go. So, and he's the and highest, no truth superior to him, everything rests upon him. That's prose as strong as threat. It's nice to remember these verses. It helps us to snap out of our illusion when we go into dream. We often daydream, nightdream, there's not any real, but the daydream's worse than the nightdream. We have to snap out of it. By these verses, Krishna speaks these words to help snap us out of it. He snapped Arjuna out of his dream. And similarly, if we remember Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also, after Krishna passed away, when he was returning to Hastinapura, he was completely overwhelmed with distress. His mind was full of dirt. It says, states in Bhagavatam, as soon as he remembered the instructions of Krishna, immediately all the trash in his mind disappeared. So remembering these instructions of Krishna, very important. No one can equal the Lord or be greater than him. The second offense against the holy name. To think that anyone is equal to or greater than the Lord. For he is the master of everyone. He is the controller of everybody. This is the, Srinivasa Prabhupada said, this is the real principle. No one can really help us in this world, actually. Only if we have this understanding, Bhuktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokam Heshvam Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. The so-called help of others in this world is really just two people in quicksand, and one is claiming that he can help the other one, but they're both going down. There's no real help as such. The only real help is when outside comes from Krishna, has given these instructions. The holy name has come from the spiritual world. Bhagavatam's not of this world. It's transcendental. It's the light in this age of Kali. Krishna is Dhammapagate. Krishna's appeared in this form, in this Kali Yuga, to bring light into this dark age, form of Bhagavatam. So we have to take, try to keep in the light. Keep in the light and there's no darkness. Krishna, is that? Krishna Surya Sam Mayaya Andhakara. Wherever there's Krishna, there cannot be darkness or illusion, Maya. So try to stay in the light of Krishna, always chanting Hare Krishna. Hearing Bhagavatam and devotional service and so on, try not to do something which would turn the switch off. Offending devotees is the best way to turn the switch off. That's the best way. If you want to turn the switch off, easy one, just offend a devotee. Switch will go off pretty quick. Other ways too of turning off the switch, or at least dimming the light. You have these lights which have dimmers on them. We want to turn it up right. And we sort of back and forth, up, down, up, down, up, down. We want to keep going up. Keep try to be positive. Keep chanting like that. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita 5.1.4.2, and you may not know the reference, is a famous verse also. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Britya. What is this verse? Are you a Chaitanya Charitamrita Walla? Yes? No? Some? Yes, this is your mother tongue, Bengali? Second thing, your auntie's tongue. Auntie's tongue, not your mother's tongue. It's your auntie. Yes? Your mother's sister. From India, even Calcutta. Not from Calcutta, preaching in Calcutta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the only master of everyone, including even Lord Shiva, not to speak of others. Lord Shiva was already aware of the supreme power of Lord Vishnu, but when he was actually put into bewilderment, he felt proud to have such an exalted master. There is the platform of pride. We can be proud to have such a great spiritual master. We can be proud to have such a master ultimately as Krishna or Varanga Mahaprabhu or whoever. We're proud we're under having the opportunity to receive the mercy of Radha and Krishna. These things we can be proud of, but you know, not proud of our own achievements, in a sense. Devotee is always very humble. Even Lord Chaitanya displayed this with Balabhata when Balabhata came to see him in Puri and he was glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu said that he has no good qualities at all. It's simply due to my association with these other devotees. I am actually a Mayavadi. I'm a Mayavadi. By the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have been transformed. And so on like this, he was going on. And I know nothing about devotion, only by the association of Ramananda Roy and Rupa Goswami, all the great devotees there, and Haridas, Thakur. And this we should remember, that whatever we say, we wouldn't even be able to talk about the shortcomings of Krishna consciousness if it wasn't for the devotees who've given us this opportunity. There's no shortcomings of Krishna consciousness, but shortcomings maybe in our appreciation or our dealings and so on. And we wouldn't know about it at all if it wasn't for the devotees who've given us this opportunity. So we should all be thankful and grateful to all the devotees for helping us to somehow or another remember Krishna and not forget him. You can say the essential, if there's any rule in the temple at all, is everything should be geared towards always remembering Krishna and never forgetting, isn't it? All the other rules and regulations are supposed to be servants of this one principle. So that's the temple's purpose, to remember. I guess it's still the case. Is it still the case? Has it been changed? Has there been some, you know, new resolution or new, you know, meeting and some new thing is there? Or is it still the same? Is it to remember Krishna and never forget him? Is that still the same? His eternal statement? Okay. Glad to know it hasn't changed. Something hasn't changed. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. That should be the motto. Motto? Motto. Is that the right word? Of our lives. A guideline for all of us. Everything we do is meant for that purpose. The words of Bhagavad Gita, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the worship of the deity, the distribution of books, the cleansing of the temple, our regulated principles, our getting up early in the morning, whatever it is we're doing, preaching and doing different wonderful festivals like Janmashtami, is to help serve this principle. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. As soon as we forget Krishna, then we start an illusion. This is the only problem. People have forgotten Krishna. soon as we forget Krishna, of course there's other ways of remembering Krishna negatively speaking. We want to remember him positively. Kamsa remembered him negatively. Even Lord Brahma remembered him indirectly, so to speak, negatively when he tried to steal away the calves and the coward boys. He was also bewildered. He thought he was the supreme. Jai Radha Gokulanda. He thought he was the supreme. He tried to steal away those calves and those coward boys when they were having fun. You know, when you're interfering with someone's fun, it's pretty serious business. You know, it's like when you're on the internet, you know, surfing on some mundane website or something, and someone comes in, why didn't you knock first? Get disturbed. We quickly close the computer. We're disturbed, you know. Depending on who it is. But, you know, someone's engaged in having pleasure pastime. So, can you imagine Lord Brahma thought that he could, there's a lot to that pastime. Big pastime. But, you know, the surface pastime is that Lord Brahma got a little puffed up. And he thought, who's this coward boy? This little kid? Look at him. He's eating the leftovers of those other kids. He can't be God. What type of God is this? He'd just seen him kill Agasura, who even the demigods were petrified of. And he was wondering, is this really God? Let me test and see. So I'll test him. I'll test him with my own mystic potencies. So Lord Brahma hasn't really got any mystic potencies at all. Is that a chicken? You got chickens out there? Huh? Ducks. Geese. I was getting better all the time. Geese, that's right, the geese. The lucky geese of Bhaktivedanta Manor. So Lord Brahma was thinking a little like that. He had a few other thoughts on his mind, but this was what it came down to. So he thought, because Lord Brahma's potency, Lord Shiva's potency, Shiva's a little different in a sense, but basically the same thing. Whatever power we have comes from Krishna. Know that all wonderful. The 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this word is there, Adbhutam is there, isn't it? Know that all wonderful and glorious things in this world are simply coming from a spark of my splendor. All the great things. It's nice to see things as great, but try to see it in relation with Krishna, that's all. Not we blind turn and close our eyes. I just try to appreciate everything in relation with Krishna. Even when we're in different states, you can see the modes of nature working, which are under Krishna's direction. So Lord Brahma forgot he doubted whether everything was really, whether this was really his Lord, and whether everything was really under his control. So this is a young kid playing like a bewildered child, practically speaking, playing around with his mates, stealing each other's food. What type of God is this? Because he's in Aishwarya Bhav, so this mood is unknown to those in Aishwarya Bhav. So he questioned, and so he thought, do something to show his actual mood was to show that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he came on proud, wanting to display his own opulences and potencies, which come from Krishna. It's not like Brahma's a competitor god, as some may think. He's not. It's a post, and when one qualified to accept that post, the empowerment is coming from Krishna to act out creation and so on. That's why sometimes it's said that Brahma is also Vishnu, because the actual potency to act as Brahma is none other than Vishnu's potency. It's not something separate. So Lord Brahma, he was thinking like this, and he went to, you know the story from the Krishna book, and he tried to steal them away. Of course, eventually he learned his lesson. And Lord Shiva also here, being bewildered by Mohini Murti, is showing the example that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, can become bewildered. What to speak of us? But one's a devotee may get bewildered sometimes, but you take shelter of Krishna. That's the point. Don't expect that we're never going to be bewildered, but just keep taking shelter of Krishna. It's a good thing. If some problem comes along, if that problem helps us to take shelter of Krishna, then that problem's good. Or if someone comes along and gives us a hard time, and the result of that is we take shelter of Krishna, that person's our friend. They're doing a service, knowingly or unknowingly. Even the mind. Sometimes material desires come in the mind. Is that right? I may be wrong. Maybe you're all pure devotees here. Does anyone ever experience material desires coming in their minds? One or two. Has anyone never experienced that? Has anyone, huh? You also experienced. See, actually that's the point. It's not sometimes, it's always. It's actually not, no, I don't experience it sometimes, I experience it always. They never stop, huh? Like rivers, they never stop flowing, like pouring. Never, the waves on the ocean, they never stop coming. So what do we do? Put up the white flag, I surrender. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. There's an incentive to take shelter of the holy name. It's good. It's good. Don't think we can fight them on our own. We can't. These material desires are not going to go away by our, screaming at them or punching them in the face or something, No, they don't. It doesn't work like that. The whole idea and why Krishna allows even these things to go on, because we deserve a lot worse, but still, Krishna gives us our tokens, and those tokens are just suitable for us. You get tokens, you can buy things, isn't it? You can get things. He gives us these tokens, and those tokens are just suitable so that we can actually purchase love of God, to help us to actually take shelter of Him instead of trying to, fight alone against these unending. This material energy is impossible to overcome. Those who take shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. So it's all about taking shelter of Krishna. That's all. So whatever case we're in, we may not be, considered in the eyes of the general masses as being anything specific, but if we're taking shelter of Krishna, that's what counts. That's what really counts. That's the ultimate purpose of it. If we're proud because we're big in the eyes of the masses, then what's the big deal? We may be learned, we may be charismatic, we may be austere, we may be powerful, maybe beautiful, maybe strong, or whatever it is. What's the use? These are all borrowed plumes, they'll be gone in a moment. Phew. As we heard in the poem also, how they're just like bubbles on the ocean, on the surf. Phew. They come up, bubble, 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 I'm the biggest bubble. Where's it gone? He just popped. Another one comes up. Look at me, I'm the biggest bubble. Bang. And bubbles coming up, bubbling around. Everyone's just bubbling around in this world. I'm the best of the bubbles. They all burst. You have to enter into the real bubble, the bubble of Krishna consciousness that never bursts. Well, time and tide wait for no man. Time is flying by. Krishna's time itself, so we have to remember Krishna and use our time nicely. We can't go on any longer. But try to see Krishna in everything. Krishna's also time. Losmi, he's time I am. And if we use our time nicely in Krishna's service, that's worshipping the Lord. That's devotional service. Worshipping Krishna in time. Every way. Whatever we've been given is given to us by Krishna. And if we develop a sincere desire, not necessarily, Prabhupada said we should desire to go back to Godhead. But if we just desire to engage in becoming a servant, not even devotee. One time Prabhupada commented, I don't know if you remember that Dharmatma, I can't remember where it was. Burijan Prabhupada told me one time in the early days in ISKCON, one devotee wrote a poem to Prabhupada, and the poem, the last line said, something like, dear Srila Prabhupada, I just want to be a good devotee. And he gave the poem to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, nice poem, just change the last line. Take that out. That's not our business. He said, just make the last line, I just want to be a servant of the servant. That's our business. That's the nature of the soul. We we shouldn't think I'm a devotee. Devotee doesn't think he's a devotee, do you? Because we may think we're not the servant, but we should act as such at least. This is how we attract Krishna's attention. You know, it's not by some artificial program to try to get some respect or control or something. It's just to develop this humble mood of understanding our actual position, and it's to serve. And Krishna arranges situations to try to bash us into shape practically, like you bash metal into shape, you know, the blacksmith. I mean, it's a bit sweeter than that. Harinam Sankirtan is very sweet, but, and prasadam usually is very sweet. It's always sweet, but our perception may not always be so sweet. Devotee association is always very sweet, isn't it? Right? Isn't it? Should be. We'd like it to become. And getting up in the morning and taking a cold bath is really sweet. At 3 o'clock in the morning. Isn't it wonderful? So wonderful. So sweet. And going on the street. And distilling Prabhupada's books. Isn't that wonderful and sweet? No! No! And maybe we're a little jaundiced at the moment, but devotional service is very sweet. We just have to enter into that ocean of devotion. But that's our business, is to serve. At least do something which you have some natural proclivity towards, or enthusiasm towards, desire, happiness, or something. Do that. At least that's something. This is our business, to serve. Our business is not to think I'm a devotee, and you are not a devotee. We are devotees and they're demons. No, devotee's business is to serve. Serve everyone. Different ways, but to serve. Hare Krishna. Spread the holy name. Try to serve devotees. Service to the Vaishnavas is the greatest service. Lord Chaitanya said that this, together with chanting the holy names, this is your attain all perfection. Serve the devotees and chant Hare Krishna. It's our business. We're not the masters. We have to serve the devotees. We're not devotees. We have to serve the others, their devotees. Even Prabhupada said at one time, he was asked, he said, are you a spiritual master of this movement? Prabhupada said, no, I'm trying to be the servant of this movement. I am not qualified. These devotees, young people here, they are qualified. I'm trying to simply help them, serve them in various ways. This is our business, to try to serve each other. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.